Good morning. I'm Paul Hamilton. On Sunday, August 13th, I shared a message at Living Hope. Unfortunately, the audio recording did not work on Sunday morning, so I'm re-recording on Tuesday morning, August 15th. I entitled my talk, Walking in Wisdom. Be still and know that I am God. Do you ever feel unsettled and unsure because our world is such a scary and confusing place? Or is it sometimes even worse than that? You feel almost overwhelmed, freaked out, downright afraid. I've sure been there. Here's my big question this morning. How are we supposed to live wisely in the year 2023? James 1:5 says, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given him. Wisdom is a gift that God wants to give to his children, that he's promised to give if we ask him. But what does this gift look like in the life of a follower of Jesus? Wisdom, even biblical wisdom, encompasses multiple dimensions. This morning, I'm going to talk about one aspect of wisdom that I believe God wants all of us to enjoy. I don't think God wants any of us to be unsettled, to feel overwhelmed, or to live in fear. I believe he wants each of us to walk through our lives with wisdom and to be at peace, no matter how unsettling or scary the world may be. First, some context to suggest why God's wisdom is so important. I suspect you've noticed that it's not always easy to negotiate the challenges of just living in our world. Putting it mildly, our world is changing all the time, and we live in extremely uncertain times. We all know from personal experience that the cliche is true. The only constant in our world is change. And the pace of change is faster now than it has ever been, and it's getting faster all the time. Advances in technology have been responsible for the most obvious major changes, and many of these changes have been wonderful. But it hasn't all been technology. There have been dramatic changes in society as well, in how we relate to each other, how we live together, and about what society sees as being right or wrong, about what's acceptable or unacceptable. No matter what it may look like, I'm only 72 years old. Now, I used to think that was old, and I'm sure many of you still think 72 is ancient. Anyway, the changes that have occurred just during my own lifetime are mind-boggling. I was born in 1951. In a Red Cross outpost on the Bruce Peninsula of southern Ontario. My first home was missing an awful lot of what we all take for granted now. There was no running water, just a hand pump in the kitchen and an outhouse in the backyard. There was no central heating, just openings in the floor so that the coal-burning cook stove in the kitchen could heat the bedrooms upstairs. When I was born, television had not yet come to Canada. Canada's first two TV stations opened in Toronto and Montreal in 1952. In 1951, it cost 6 cents for a liter of gas. But in those days, no one had heard of liters. It was 27 cents for an imperial gallon. When I was born, there were really only three career options open to women in this country. You could be a nurse, a teacher, or a secretary. And in 1951, gentlemen were not allowed anywhere near the dorms where the nursing students lived. Strict curfews were still enforced when nursing students went out in the evening. Our world has changed a lot, and the pace of that change has been accelerating rapidly. It keeps getting faster and faster and faster. It's predicted that just 20 years from now, when I'm 92, change will be happening 4 times as fast as it is now. It's no wonder we sometimes feel unsettled. Sometimes the changes are downright scary. Has God's gift of wisdom been keeping up? We're also living in a time of tremendous uncertainty. Our entire world was suddenly turned completely upside down at the beginning of 2020 by something we had never heard of, a virus they called COVID-19. Talk about a scary surprise. Here's another example that fuels our sense of uncertainty. Extreme weather events now occur with alarming regularity, and sometimes they are much too close to home for comfort. I still find it difficult to comprehend that 2 summers ago, something we'd never experienced before, called a heat dome, took the lives of more than 600 people right here in BC, and the community of Lytton was pretty much wiped out in an instant. This week, we've seen the devastation caused by a fire in Maui. How does God's gift of wisdom apply when we're living with this kind of uncertainty? And then there are the challenges each of us faces in our own sometimes messy and always complicated personal lives. Relational challenges, difficulties at work, all manner of frustration and disappointment, illnesses, financial struggles, and the temptation that comes at us from every direction. So how are we supposed to live wisely in the face of constant change, uncertainty, and the vast array of personal struggles we all experience? To complicate things even more, for me at least, there are just so many questions that I can't answer satisfactorily, and that sometimes can leave me feeling really unsettled. Here are just a few of the many questions that have perplexed me for a long, long time. Why was I born into a life of privilege and relative comfort when most other people in the world were not? Why have I had so much exposure to the good news of Jesus when most others in the world have not been so blessed? Why, and this one's a big one for me, why do so many people who do not follow Jesus seem so much more loving, compassionate, accepting, gentle, and humble than many of us who do call ourselves Christians? Why are some of us sexually attracted to others of the same sex? How can God hear millions of individual prayers all prayed at the same time? And then there's the huge set of questions about undeserved pain, suffering, and injustice. I've been pondering some of these questions for more than 50 years. I have some ideas and some partial answers, but ultimately I have to admit that I just don't know for sure. So with all the change, uncertainty, personal challenge, and impossible questions that we all deal with, it seems to me that we desperately need God's gift of wisdom. But what does that wisdom look like? I've concluded that walking in wisdom begins with acknowledging that we are never, ever fully in control, and by admitting that there are many things that we can never know or fully understand. I think this means that wisdom simply cannot exist without humility. Many of our efforts to be in control prove to be folly, and by definition, that's the exact opposite of wisdom. Sometimes, especially in an affluent country like Canada, we can achieve a sense of being in control, but at best, I think that's just an illusion or a mirage. Just ask Job what can happen when it seems like everything is under control. And when we think we have definitive answers to life's most perplexing questions, or when we talk and act like we do, I think we're being just arrogant fools. There is no wisdom without humility. Let's look again at Psalm 46. It was read beautifully by Hudson a few minutes ago. I'm going to read the whole chapter one more time. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth gives way, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea, and though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble at its swelling. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God will help her when morning dawns. The nations rage, the kingdoms totter. He utters his voice, the earth melts. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Come, behold the works of the Lord, how he has brought desolations on the earth. He makes wars to cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the chariots with fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Psalm 46 refers to some truly terrifying situations, and I think some of them sound almost eerily familiar. But the psalmist says that because God is our refuge and our strength, we don't need to be afraid. I think we need to listen carefully and to hear God speaking directly to each of us through the psalmist here. God invites us to be still, to be completely at peace. When? Right in the middle of life's unpredictable storms. When we're struggling with impossible circumstances. When confronted with questions we just can't answer. God says that the reason we can be still is because He is God. As creator of the universe, He's the only one who is ever really in control. Wisdom requires the humility to admit that we are not in control. It means acknowledging that God is God and we are not. He is in control and we are not. The opposite of being still is flailing about and trying to be in control. It's panicking or despairing when the challenges we face seem too big. Many challenges really are too big for us. But nothing is too hard for the God who created the universe. In Matthew 8, we read of how Jesus modeled what it looked like to be still in the middle of a storm, literally. Jesus slept peacefully while his disciples panicked because they thought they were going to die. Then Jesus showed his disciples why they too could be still and at peace. He showed them that He is bigger and more powerful than any storm. Being still and allowing God to be God in our lives is the essence of walking in wisdom. Living our lives with wisdom requires not only the humility to acknowledge that God is God, it also means choosing to trust Him completely. We can trust God completely because He is always with us, because He loves us, and because His love for us is perfect love. As followers of Jesus, this is our reality. In Micah's opening message of this series on wisdom, he referenced two passages of Scripture that I want to circle back to in closing. He had us look at Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, which says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make straight your paths." God wants us to trust Him completely. He's explicit in telling us that trusting Him trumps trying to be in control by leaning on our own limited understanding. The other passage that Micah pointed us to was Philippians 4, 6, and 7. "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God, and then the peace of God, which surpasses all our understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. With the peace of God guarding our hearts and our minds, we really can learn to be still and to trust God. In the face of relentless change, when riding the roller coaster of uncertainty, when dealing with personal challenges or wrestling with troubling questions, God says, "Be still and know that I am God. I'm in control. I know you and I love you." As he guards our hearts and minds, we can be still. This, I believe, is the key to walking in wisdom.